The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Monday to us all. Dominic, we welcome back a fine guest and a friend of ours. He is former Green Bay Packer, former Minnesota Viking, Daryl Ingram. Daryl, that's a funky background, man. That looks like some ABBA cover art or senior class picture background. Where'd you get
that? Wanted to match Brian's music skills.
Happy Father's Day to you, sir, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Recent graduate from, what, Northwestern University, a second...
Yeah. Yeah, class of 2009. Go Wildcats, baby.
Class of 09?
2019.
Oh, 19. I'm like, Parker. You know, I sort of dragged out my college experience a bit as well. But you play college football. You went to college on a scholarship. Curious what your opinion is of this unanimous Supreme Court ruling that would seemingly open some sort of gates to compensating college athletes.
Yeah, it was an antitrust situation, and the NCAA has been arguing for years that the antitrust laws don't apply to them when we all know they do. So it's good news for college athletes. It's good news for college athletics. Their argument was they wanted it to remain as amateur and not pay these guys. Really what they wanted to do is keep all the money for themselves. These guys and gals are making billions of dollars for these universities and for the NCAA, and to not share some of that wealth with the guys that are making it is, I mean, you can compare it to a plantation system, really. You know, people aren't saying that, but you got all of these athletes who are making all of this money for these organizations, universities, colleges, and the NCAA, yet aren't sharing in the wealth. So it's great news, Mike.
But Daryl, is it all the athletes helping the universities make this money, or is it big-time college football and big-time college basketball and a lot of losing money endeavors as far as college sports teams? I mean, it's just a few that are making money, Daryl.
Yeah, but they make enough money now to support the other teams on campus, right? So that money should be shared with the athletes. So... And this is not the salary argument, right? I mean, it's going to get there, though. It's on the way there. They did name, image, and likeness last year. This is really to provide athletes with more money toward their education. So if they want to use that money to go to a postgraduate school, if they want to use that money for computers, for lab fees, for whatever, the rules as they stand now are pretty draconian. And there's a famous story. Anybody that's played sports has probably heard a version of it where a kid couldn't afford to buy a coat, and they can't buy a coat based on the rules. So the team doctor wrote a prescription for a coat so the kid could go and get a coat. And so we've all heard that story. And that's how draconian the rules have been, where you can't provide trips home to kids. A lot of these kids, you know, they don't have the money beyond paying for tuition and their room and board to do anything. So this, but they're making or helping generate tons of revenue. So this is just, you know, cutting that pie up a little bit more equally. It's still not equal though. It's still not equal. And one of the arguments that somebody from the NCAA said that our sports won't be as popular when the fans know that the players are being paid for it, which is a joke, right? We know that people are going to love college sports regardless. So that argument is old and tired, and this Supreme Court decision brings some clarity to that.
Is it possible we could perhaps tax parimutuel betting on college football and college sports and perhaps allocate some of that gambling proceeds towards the athletes?
Yeah, all the money that's out there, Mike, the players and the athletes should share in it. So that's my answer to that. So yes, you could tax it however you want to, but we know that there are billions of dollars generated by college sports, and everybody is getting some of it except for the college athletes.
Now, Daryl, my father, who I only met recently within the last year, played college football till he blew out his knee. And when he blew out his knee, he was off scholarship and quite frankly got shipped off to Vietnam back in the day. What was your experience in the University of California, Berkeley, right? That's a Pac-10 school. That's a big-time college football program. But if you were injured during the course of your studies, let's say freshman, sophomore, hadn't established yourself as a starter yet, were you in jeopardy of losing scholarship or losing your education if you simply got injured?
Absolutely. So the scholarships are 1 year. So I signed a series of 1 year scholarships. Since I redshirted my freshman year, it was five. So that scholarship's only good for that first year. If something were to happen to you, you're not guaranteed any sort of tuition or books or room and board or even to stay on campus. This will help take care of that as well. There are guys that are injured, you know, in the case of your father, who can never see the light of day afterwards. So this will take care of that as well. They'll be able to put money aside to help them finish their education.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Darrell Ingram, former NCAA player and former NFL player, commenting on the Supreme Court ruling today, unanimous decision coming down. And it was, I've read some of the decision from the reporting, Darrell, and it's pretty blistering. And you have conservatives pointing out the fact that, you know, there are billions of dollars being generated, and you know, none of this or very little of this is getting down, you know, to the student athletes specifically. How do you think this plays out? Now, seemingly the reporting says, Darrell, it's basically another, you know, chink in the armor for that. Do you think that we will come to a point where, you know, as part of joining a school or committing yourself, that there will be a salary involved? Do you think that's where we need to go?
I think we're moving that direction. So there's this, the NCAA years ago coined this phrase student athlete. And what they coined that phrase to draw the distinction of is that you're not an employee, right?
Because no, if you're an employee,
you're attributed to a whole bunch of workman's comp and some other things that go along with being an employee in this country under the National Labor Relations Board, right? So they coined this phrase student athlete to kind of carve out a special distinction for these kids. And in reality, they are employees, right? So I'm not going to beat around the bush. They're employees. I was an employee of the University of California, Berkeley, playing football, generating revenue. So I think it's on the way there, Dom. I think eventually it's going to get to the point where they're going to have to, you know, pay players. Now, it'll be done probably by the schools individually, then also by the conferences. And there will be all sorts of, you know, hemming and hawing about how it's not fair for these big money schools because they can afford so much more and et cetera. That's a problem that athletes would love to have, I think. The NCAA doesn't want to have that problem. They don't want to discuss that. But that's a problem that athletes would love to have. You know, people fighting over them for who's going to pay them the most.
I just want to go back to the fact that if you got injured, if you tore your meniscus, you could be screwed. I tore my meniscus when I was a student playing in the doing the theater, and I was acting, and I was in a rehearsal. And because I was getting paid by the university, I tore my meniscus and I got the entire thing paid for, no problems, not even a question asked. But if I was a football player at Western Michigan University, screw me and my scholarship. Good luck with that.
Yeah, and most schools will probably take care of your medical benefits on that, Brian, but there's no guarantee you'd have a scholarship the next year, and that's the problem.
Darrell, I used to cover athletes that played in the CBA. Sort of a step down from the NBA. And sure. I had spoken to an athlete who played at the University of Minnesota, and I have no way to independently verify this, but that player claimed, and this has been a number of years, this was, I believe, back when Clem Haskins was the coach there, he alleged that a booster or someone else would put cash in his sneakers while he'd be at practice. He'd get something to the effect of $200-$300 a week. Pocket money, spending money, but clearly outside of NCAA. What has been your experience? I know there's, you know, alleged athletes that get paid off, their dad gets a job, or the university pays hundreds of thousands for a top-level recruit. But even these, you know, I never held it against the guy. I never questioned his morals. When he, as a broke-ass college kid's taking a couple $100 in his sneakers, I never questioned why he would accept that, even though he was jeopardizing his college career.
Well, it was need, right? Need-based, right? So, you know, yes, they turned it into a moral question. and they try to point their finger at kids, and they just have a need for more income or more money than they were getting via the scholarship program. It paid for room and board, and that was pretty, and that was pretty much it. So, yeah, it's not a moral question. An analogy would be, you know, now. So my son's 14. Let's say in 7 years, you know, he hasn't finished his undergrad, but he's offered a contract to play professional sports. Back when I was coming out, you know, you wanted to finish school. It was, you know, drilled into you to finish school. Now, I would say go and get that money. You can finish school any old time in your life, right? It's about the opportunity to take advantage of that when you're young and you can play. So that moral issue, I think that's water under the bridge, Mike. I think that's kind of crazy. Yeah, there's all sorts of stories about guys and families getting money extracurricularly, if you will. The most famous one is the kid that I can't think of his name, the running back at USC that won the Heisman Trophy and then had to give his Heisman back because they found out that boosters were paying the family and paying the kid. And
was that Reggie Bush, Darryl?
Reggie Bush. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So, and Reggie was a great, great high school player. I saw him play in high school. Great college player. Won the Heisman. Great pro. But yeah, his family got money outside of the athletic program, and the athletic program was supposed to police that, and he ended up having to forfeit his Heisman. And it was all based on his family not having money. I mean, we all need money like we need oxygen, right? And so if there's an opportunity for someone to take advantage of that, they will. That will be cleared up if college sports decides that they want to pay athletes. It may not be entirely cleared up, right? There still may be the need or the want or the desire to give a kid some extra money for whatever outcome you're trying to point that kid to. But at the same time, it just speaks to the problem of collegiate sports generating billions of income and the kids not getting any. You got coaches making millions of dollars. The highest paid state employees in a lot of states are either the college basketball coach or the college football coach, right? And yet the kids get nothing. So it's high time that something happened like this. They talked about it back when I was playing, you know, in the 80s, and it's due. It's come due now.
Darryl, we just got a couple minutes left in this segment. Can you stick around for one more segment after the commercial break?
Sure.
All right. I guess my final question for this segment, Darryl, a lot of the supporters of the amateur thing for college, you know, point to the education. All these kids are getting a free education. Now, I know you've gone on and gotten your master's, and very few people do that, Darryl. What was your experience? Did you get the value, quote-unquote, of that education? And of the guys you played with, how many of them do you think got the value, quote-unquote, of that education?
There's all sorts of horror stories, Dom, and I'm not going to get into them, but a lot of kids don't feel they got the value, right? They feel, you know, there's a lot of people who will argue the amateur role is pristine in sports. Well, we saw that crumble when they started doing dream teams, right? When Michael Jordan went to the Olympics and won. And the reason that the Americans decided to let pros play is because the rest of the world had passed us and they were letting their pros play in the Olympics. So that's, That argument is tired and old and should be done away with. If there's something that is generating revenue, then the forces that are generating that revenue should share in that revenue. And it's as simple as that.
Darryl, if the big-time college football players at the University of California, where you attended, get paid, should the baseball players, the volleyball players, the softball players, can the university sustain payments or compensation above and beyond scholarships to all the athletes on the Division I roster?
Well, I think it's going to come down to what sports are creating the revenue. I'm not arguing that it's fair, that it should be, you know, equitable to each athlete. Baseball doesn't generate the revenue that football does, obviously, right? But currently, you know, football and basketball generate enough revenue to pay for field hockey. Right. And they have, you know, maybe 10 people in the stands. So I'm not arguing that the field hockey players should get paid like football players should get paid. But there's enough money to go around to provide them with extra income for their academics.
Hold that thought. More with Darryl Ingram, our good friend. More Devils Advocates.
Hey, how about a little something, you know, for the effort?
You'll get nothing and like it.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. Tom and Kreutz are the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. If you have not yet gotten the new Devil Radio app, go to your app store, search for Devil Radio, and download it and take us with you everywhere you go.
Dominic, our fine guest, Daryl Ingram, former Green Bay Packer, former Minnesota Viking, and Cleveland Brown.
Nice, Mike. Nice.
And friend of ours, most importantly. That's the most important part. Daryl, obviously, head injuries in the news for all former NFL players and has to be a concern of yours. But what did you think? Some of these brain studies were being shifted for black athletes. They were starting with a lower baseline for cognitive functioning before they started doing the CES, the brain injury scans. Obviously, you're a black athlete, Daryl. What was your reaction?
Well, I was upset, Mike. You can imagine the juxtaposition of, you know, Black Lives Matter being in the end zones last year, the NFL, and also them starting the season with the Black National Anthem, you know, and then also the commissioner saying we should have listened to Colin Kaepernick, right? You know, this, we should listen to these, to our players, 73% of which are black. We should listen to these guys. And then for them to be doing what is, it's just racist. And the reason that they did it, beyond the fact that they're trying to save themselves some money, right? That's obvious.
Right.
That's done throughout society, right? That's how medical things are looked at based on a particular par level based on race. And it's nobody's proven anything. It's just an assumption. So there's an assumption that they would, that black athletes would have a lower cognitive function, therefore a lower baseline or par level, if you will. And that prevented, you know, black athletes from being able to prove that there's been a decline in their cognitive function. And therefore a lot of black athletes who were trying to apply to the NFL settlement, the concussion settlement, were excluded from that. And it's just based on race. So it's, if there's anything more racist than that, somebody show it to me. It's just racism. That's all it is. It's ridiculous. So yeah, I was a little bit upset when I heard that.
Daryl, I forget the statistical analysis, but a large number of former NFL players end up in bankruptcy court. Are people prepared for an NFL career and perhaps the brevity of that NFL career? Everyone, you know, especially if you're a big-time college football player, you think you're indestructible. You don't think I'm going to be out of the league in 3 years.
No. The quick answer to that is no. I don't think people are prepared for that. And a lot of it has to do with youth, to your point, Mike. A lot of it has to do with, you know, I'm a 22, 23-year-old kid, and I'm indestructible, and I'm going to play in the league forever. And the fact remains, the average career is 3.7 years. So if you're 23, like I was when you go in the league, you're going to be done by 27. And hopefully you live to be 107, right? So, or whatever. So you have another 80 years or 60 years or 50 years or whatever to make a career and to live. And so guys need to consider that. Now, the amount of money that's being made in sports, people will point to some of these large contracts that NFL players are getting. That's three or four guys on a team. And you really don't make that money until you sign your second contract, because the rookie deals are all structured. And so until you can get to a free agent contract, the chance to take advantage of that money. And so the rookie deals are, you know, typically between 4 and 6 years. And so they know most of those guys are going to be done by the time they get a chance to make the big money. So it's structured that way. Our retirement benefits are also structured that way. They do a study on how long professional athletes are supposed to live. And they put the first time that you can take advantage of a pension, if you qualify for one, is a couple years beyond that expected life span of an athlete. So they got this thing all figured out, man. And, you know, no one talks about it, but it's reality. They're trying to pay out as little money as possible, just like your car insurance company's trying to do. your life insurance company is trying to do. They're running the same game.
Well, Daryl, maybe Jake from State Farm doesn't want to pay for my bumper, but let me ask you, why do you think the Green Bay Packers are having such an issue with Aaron Rodgers? I mean, isn't this guy the franchise? Doesn't he get to dictate the terms?
It's a clash of what football used to be versus what football is now. And I think the Packers are kind of stuck on what it used to be. And this is one guy's opinion. Aaron Rodgers, first of all, I will always be a fan of the man. He's a great quarterback. He went to my university, so he's got my support 100%. But he couldn't do what he's doing now when I was playing. They didn't – players like me and any player, even Brett Favre back then, didn't have that sort of power – that Aaron Rodgers has, and he's just using his leverage. I guess there's something with the general manager, how he's running the team, that Aaron Rodgers doesn't agree with. From what I've been able to read, I have no more knowledge than anybody else does on that. So Aaron Rodgers is using his leverage, and you know, people are saying, well, if he doesn't play, he's going to miss out on $30 million. Well, I don't think it's just about money. When you're worth, I'm guessing he's worth a couple $100 million. I have no idea. But when you're worth that, you know, you other things are important too. And so think about it, guys. This guy is the reigning MVP of the league, and he's telling his team, screw you. I don't want to play for you guys. So can we blame that completely on the player? I don't think so. There's something going on in the organization, and if they want the man to play, they got to fix it. Or they got to figure out a trade. I'm not sure what's going to happen. But I'm for all the guys that play football and every other sport, guys and gals, making as much money as they can. And so, you know, I'm the wrong guy to ask. Well, what do you think about the league's perspective? No, I'm for guys making as much freaking money as they can, because I know how hard that is, right? And Mike, to your point earlier, you know, guys have to live a lifetime after they play sports. And they don't have the revenue-generating opportunities, generally speaking, that they do while they're playing. So I want guys and gals to make as much money as possible. Just like, you know, I want everybody to make as much. We live in a capitalist society. I want everybody to make as much money as they possibly can. And athletes are no different.
Come on, Darryl, man.
Go ahead, Curdy.
Well, I was just going to say, we're in progressive radio. We ain't making money around here.
I want you guys to make money, Mike. I want you to.
Daryl, would you recommend to the kids coming up these days, given the circumstances and the danger and the politics and the racism, all the things happening in NCAA sports, to continue to go down that path?
Well, I would say being an athlete's a great thing, and you can accomplish a lot being an athlete. But I also know that being a student is a great thing. And when you get your education, no one can take that from you. And I think it's important. I mean, again, if my son has the opportunity to play professional sports and he hasn't finished college, but yet there's a huge contract out there for him, I'm going to say, go get the contract, man. Go get the contract. You can come back to school later. But in that is implied that you should be a student the rest of your life. You should be an athlete your entire life.
Daryl Ingram, our good friend, former Packer, former Viking, friend of the Devil's Advocates, thank you so much.
Thanks, Daryl.
Talk to you someday soon.
Peace, boys. Thank you.
Personal file, 69. Offense. He was giving them the business.